This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Ross Tucker joins us at the bottom of the hour, our Odyssey NFL insider. Lots to get into with Ross. Great weekend of NFL football. And I feel like we're being set up this weekend with the conference title games. We had such a good weekend last weekend, and now we've got a game. I think the Chiefs are a 7-point favorite over the Bengals is what I saw, and the Rams a smaller favorite, a 3.5-point favorite over the San Francisco 49ers. So we'll see what happens this weekend. You can hear both those games right here on Sports Radio 610. Here's Albert Breer on Jonathan Gannon. I'm going to read this here. Jonathan Gannon is the one candidate that we've heard the Texans want to get a second interview with. Albert Breer said this about Jonathan Gannon in his Monday morning quarterback column. Jonathan Gannon has quickly become a name to watch. Word is he knocked his interview with the Texans out of the park. He's also met with the Vikings and Broncos, and despite the Eagles' ups and downs, let me pause, he's the Eagles' defensive coordinator, for those who don't know. Despite the Eagles' ups and downs on defense, he's known as a really good scheme coach, leader, with a very bright future. In that way, there's some similarity to where Mike Tomlin was in 2007. Now, this is interesting. Breer says when the Vikings' defense he coordinated may not have warranted such a quick rise, but his head coach qualities were so apparent that he wound up getting his shot. Here was Nick Caserio in the press conference the day after David Culley was fired, bringing up almost unsolicited an anecdote about that very head coaching hire, Mike Tomlin to the Steelers 15 years ago.
I mean, nobody respects what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done more than myself. And when you look at Coach Tomlin, I mean, you look at the organization, right? Basically three coaches over the course of the Rooney ownership, right? They went from Chuck to Bill to Mike. And when Mike was hired, Mike was a coordinator for 1 year in Minnesota, right? He was 30-something years old, maybe 31 years old, whatever it was. And at the time, I don't think people knew, like, okay, Mike Tomlin is going to be not have a losing season in 15 years. I think the Rooneys saw Mike Tomlin and said, you know what? That's our guy. We believe in him, and we're going to give him the runway and the opportunity. And, I mean, look, Mike's as good of a coach, I would say as good of a leader as there is, and forget about sports, probably in, like, organizational behavior. So I have a lot of respect and admiration. And, look, that's the goal.
All right, so that was Caserio. Tomlin, 34, yeah, by the way, when he took that Steelers job.
Organizational behavior, Sean. It was big that he had said that.
Okay.
Really, really big, honestly, because that's a little bit more of a corporate buzzword. And we know that Caserio likes to study these, you know, Silicon Valley companies. And the book that he had recommended to us that I didn't buy
Masters of Scale.
Son of a, let me take a note right now.
Mike and Cy Fair sent a text in saying it was a really good book recommendation. He just texted that 30 minutes ago. Mike and Cy Fair said,
so dynamic.
Good book recommendation by Nick.
Mike is a Snap-on tools distributor, and I think he has like three territories now.
Really?
I might be leaving to, you know, just go work for Mike and Cy Fair sometime soon. But the organizational behavior, I'm joking, sorry. You got a concerned look on your face.
In my mind, I'm going, I don't want you to leave.
But the organizational psychology part of it, Jack Easterby is big into that type of stuff as well. And that was one of the things about Jonathan Gannon that supposedly really impressed the Texans, is that he's this voracious reader of all this stuff about organizational psychology and all of that. This is where it tests your faith, because we're going to say things that are intellectually true, but there's a difference between knowing it and following through on it or identifying the right people. We know that being a head coach doesn't necessarily have anything to do at times with the things you did as an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. Yeah. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, depending on how involved the head coach is with either the offense or the defense. But there are so many things a head coach has to do that you never have to do as an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. All the personal stuff, the issues that arise, how the contracts affecting behavior and vice versa, all that stuff you never have to worry about. Not to mention kind of just the responsibility of taking young 22-year-old men and molding them into mature 26-year-old men. All of that is stuff that a head coach does that doesn't necessarily get vetted in the coordinating process. So it shouldn't matter. Like, being a coordinator shouldn't matter. But then it becomes, okay, yeah, but so how are you identifying those other attributes? Because I would go with various great NFL head coaches. Jimmy Johnson's one. You know, Troy Aikman himself will tell you that Jimmy Johnson wasn't like an X's and O's genius or anything. He was a motivational genius. And
he's also
and he
an excellent talent evaluator, too.
He had a really good eye for talent evaluation.
Yeah.
You know, I think Tom Coughlin, too, is along those lines. I think he was more of a guy. He was a guy who was good at the apex of an organization. Kind of like, okay, Kasari's going to love this one, Sean. You know who Tom Coughlin was? Steve Jobs. Where Steve Jobs, who, you know, Steve Jobs couldn't program. He wasn't a computer programmer, but he drove the hell out of computer programmers, you know, and he made computer programmers believe they could do things that nobody else, that they themselves didn't believe they could do. Coughlin was kind of that kind of guy. So I think whether it's Vrabel or Mike Tomlin, each of whom only had a year of defensive coordinating experience, I think there are elements in those guys, obviously, that make for good head coaches. It's just a matter of how do we identify those people?
Yeah, and that's what the Texans need that. You know, like as you're saying that, I'm thinking, okay, who are the other candidates out there? Like when I think about what you're saying, I'm going, you know, Brian Daboll feels like a good head coaching candidate, but it's because he designed this amazing offense for Josh Allen. Would I want somebody who designed this offense for Josh Allen, or would I want somebody who can have some sort of transformative effect over the ethos of my program? Well, the Texans need the latter way more than they need the former right now.
To carry that analogy out, and I think this is why a lot of head coaches fail, it's like hiring your best computer programmer to be the CEO of your company.
Right.
A lot of times sometimes the things that make you a good coordinator actually are incompatible with being the head guy, mm-hmm. because you are so good at just tunneling in and focusing on one, you know, specific part of the team that sometimes that's counterproductive for the guy at the top. I mean, that's why it's like the old thing, and you know, CEOs are a lot of the best CEOs were B and C students because they're socializing and stuff instead of really buckling down.
They're good at influencing people.
Yeah, they're really good at working. Right. The A students who used to do their group projects for them are now working for them.
That's right.
There's a little bit of that to me in a head coach. Oh,
Nick's listening right now. He loved your analogy just then. He pulled over and needed a cigarette after. Well, not a Nick doesn't smoke. He probably needed a celery stick or something like that. Like
either that, or maybe he's so tired of like the Steve Jobs stuff. Yeah, like Steve Jobs has been diced up and written about and whatever, glossed over and glamorized so many times. He's probably like, whatever. Actually, what is this, amateur hour, Seth?
Right. No, he probably thinks you're stealing his material. Like, that's my bit.
He wouldn't lower himself to do Steve Jobs. It's got to be something more cutting edge than that.
Yeah, a little bit.
What are we talking, personal computers? What the hell?
Hey, a quick update, too, on some of the other candidates, or at least perceived candidates for the Texans head coaching job. Gerard Mayo, who it is a little weird that we're 2 weeks into this thing, and the guy that was thought to be the number one candidate coming into it has not even gotten an interview request from the Texans, yet he's interviewing in other places, including Gerard Mayo interviewing with the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's Ian Rapoport.
Gerard Mayo is flying down to Las Vegas today in an interview with the Las Vegas Raiders for the head coaching job tomorrow. Remember, this was the first request they ended up putting in, perhaps an indication of how strongly they feel about him. They also spent a lot of time over the weekend interviewing Dave Ziegler, the de facto general manager with the New England Patriots. So if they do end up making a move on Dave Ziegler, bringing in someone like Mayo would make sense. perhaps Josh McDaniels would make sense as well. Certainly a lot of different options for the Raiders to consider. Also, likely have a GM interview with Ed Dodds from the Colts later this week. But Jerod Mayo, who impressed with the Denver Broncos, he gets the first crack at potentially getting the Raiders head coaching job.
Now, he did not impress enough with the Broncos to be one of their three finalists. Reportedly, they are down to Dan Quinn, Nathaniel Hackett, and Kevin O'Connell, who the Texans have put in a request for. Those are the three finalists in Denver. Jerod Mayo interviewing yesterday in Las Vegas. So, Seth, what do we make of Jerod Mayo has not popped up? Normally, if Jerod Mayo had not popped up on the radar, I would say, okay, well, maybe they are going more conventionally here with experienced head. But they interview Josh McCown again for the second year in a row. So I don't know what to make of this.
Josh McCown, they're getting his name out there. And I guess Josh McCown is just going to continue to not coach until he's just been interviewed like a total of seven times. How did you prepare this year? Well, I didn't coach again. And right. That's where I took another year off.
Hey, Seth, if he doesn't coach for another couple more off seasons, he's going to wind up replacing Andy Reid in Kansas City out of nowhere.
Maybe
he's gonna non-coach his way into the best coaching position in the NFL at some point.
He'll get his first head job when he's 59 years old after he took a year off to watch his grandchildren play football
exactly.
or something. Jerod Mayo, I think again because he's another unconventional one, and because remember his experience is generally limited to the New England Patriots. It's not like he's been out there kind of impressing people at various locales. So the web of people that might be intrigued by Jerod Mayo is going to be a lot smaller than some of these other guys. And then I do wonder, too, if maybe, you know, I talked to Paul Gallant about this briefly because Paul, you know, is a Patriots fan growing up, watches closely. And I think there's a little bit of a belief that Belichick stepped back from being as involved in the defense this year, and that might have been part of the reason they collapsed so abysmally in the playoffs. And I wonder if maybe there's a little bit too much of a stench of that on Jerod Mayo right now. If they're there's a lot unknown about him. Whereas like okay, Josh McCown, and again do we count the Texans interview as a real interview? I don't know. If it weren't the Texans, I feel like we would say like okay, that's just somebody doing Josh McCown a favor. We just don't know with the Texans.
Right.
So I think that's at least a part of it. It's going to take a little while, unless the Texans hire him right now, for Mayo to really get out there is a kernel in the psyche of various decision makers.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Ross Tucker joins us at the bottom of the hour. There is something in the NFL that is under attack. Under attack, Seth. Tell you what it is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Ross Tucker jumps in with us at the bottom of the hour. Always good to talk to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker.
I'm kind of nervous, though. He always interviews us, though, too. I don't know if I'm prepared for this interview.
Well, you got one more break to study up, pal.
Okay.
There was a headline that made me laugh yesterday on CBSSports.com. NFL overtime rules under attack.
like it's one of those, like on the news when it's like a desert storm.
Yeah. Under siege. Like NFL overtime rules under attack. If you could pick a lamer thing to attack than NFL overtime rules, text it in 713-572-4610.
Day three.
Right.
Bum, 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 bum.
Right.
This is day three of the overtime rules under attack.
Under attack.
What version of. Is this NFL rules under attack 7? 8? Like, how many times have the overtime rules specifically? It seems about like once every 10 years or so it reaches a fever pitch.
Yeah, I would say probably more so in the last few years, because we've seen NFL playoff games, a lot of them, end with one of the two teams not getting the football. And just to give you numbers to back that up, and we'll talk more about it. They're under attack because of the ending of the Bills-Chiefs game, where the Bills didn't ever see the ball in overtime. I was really surprised to see this, Seth, that since they changed the rules for overtime to the current rules, they did it in 2010 for the playoffs where they said, okay, it used to just be sudden death. They changed the rule to where it is the team that gets the ball first, if they score a touchdown, the game is over. But if they don't, then it reverts to sudden death after that. So a touchdown ends the game, other than that, sudden death. 2010 in the playoffs. 2 years later, they made that the rule in the regular season as well. 11 playoff games have gone to overtime since then. 11 playoff games. Teams that win the coin toss have a record of 10-1 in those games. So 91% of the games, teams that win the coin toss in the postseason have won in overtime. 7 of those 10 were able to take advantage of that rule where scoring a touchdown ends the game. Probably most famously, the Super Bowl here between the Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons ended with a touchdown in overtime. The Patriots in the 2018 AFC title game against the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid never saw the football in that game. And then, obviously, most recently, the late game on Sunday where Josh Allen and the Bills never saw the football in overtime.
Stat nerd Seth is going to say something that's going to anger a lot of people.
Ah, good. It's been a while, Stat nerd Seth, since we've heard from Stat nerd Seth.
Stat nerd Seth lost his way for a little while. He wasn't sure if he was like a guy from the Bronx that was kind of but that had a penchant for advanced analytics or not. This is what Stat nerd Seth would say. Small sample size. All right, what are you gonna do? What are we talking? 11 games here? We're gonna win. We're gonna work with 11 games. We're gonna make vast overreaching. What are you? What are you, Bill Polian? They're making idiotic changes to the halftime just because of based on 11 games. Oh, overall, if you look at playoffs and the postseason, the team that wins the coin toss has a 52.8 win percentage.
Yeah.
So it's like, and now it's so. Non-stat nerd Seth, what I'd say is, all right, it is a small sample size, 11 games in the playoffs that you're talking about here. In the vast, when you're talking 163 overtime games, it works out to a little better than average chances of winning because you win the coin toss. I think there might be something going on in the playoffs, though, where you tend to have really good offenses in the playoffs.
Bingo.
So there's a much bigger chance that over the course of the game, the offense, even if that offense hasn't produced during regulation, that the defense is worn down and that they've got a much better shot than your average team on any given Sunday during the season. So that maybe – look, in the playoffs, you're going to play until there's a winner anyway. So this whole, like, you know, you don't want to expose guys to too many extra plays, all that, I think that kind of falls by the wayside. I'd be kind of cool with maybe just changing the format in the playoffs to just say to where at least both offenses have a chance. Like, they at least you get to touch the ball. If the team that wins the coin toss marches down and scores a touchdown, you at least have a chance to match them.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the precedent is there. I mean, this rule that's in place now was in place for just the postseason for 2 years before it became the rule. So they've done it for just the playoffs before. CBSSports.com, who claimed that the rule is under attack, they had John Breach had of CBSSports.com had three suggestions. My prediction is these feel, at least two of them feel a little too gimmicky for Seth Payne. But let's see what you think of these, Seth, because they're kind of
Seth
fun.
Seth Payne or Stat Nerd Seth?
Either one.
Okay.
Either one. The spot and choose rule, where the team that wins the coin toss gets to decide where the ball is placed for first and 10, and then it's up to Team B to decide whether or not to take the football. So in other words, I'm Team A, I win the coin toss. Team A, you get to decide where the line of scrimmage is to start the first possession of overtime. And I say, okay.
You get the ball, but the other team gets the ball.
Well, the other team gets to choose whether or not to get the ball. Like, in other words, I choose to put it at the opposing team's 5-yard line. Now it's up to you, Team B. Would you rather be on offense or defense?
Statner, Seth, and Seth Payne.
I knew you were going to hate these because they get to about three sentences in. I'm like, Seth is going to be like, why are we doing this?
This is – do you know how hard it is to, like, grasp everybody? And I'm serious. I'm not being serious. Like, I think I'm, a relatively bright guy. You know, little bit above average.
Yeah.
And we're talking, not for people listening to this show. I'm probably a little bit below average. But, you know, the average schmuck that you see out at the DMV.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time grasping this one, and I think anything that's too hard to grasp in a game that's already full of probably unnecessary complexity is not anything I want to be adding to the – hey, you know what this game needs? More complexity. Oh, boy. If there's one thing I love, it's officials having to keep track of even more things.
Okay.
I still don't understand this rule.
If you hate it – well, I'm not going to explain it on the radio because it'd be bad radio. Like, okay, it'd be something you and I would sit down over a beer and say, no, this could be kind of fun.
Yeah, alcohol help. Thanks. I'm sure I'll grasp it then. So, no.
If you hated that one, then you are going to despise the field goal gamble proposal where instead of a coin toss, they have the home team decide the distance for a field goal.
Okay.
Which then the visiting team can decide whether or not they kick the field goal or let the home team kick the field goal to decide who gets the ball first in overtime.
Okay. I understand this concept at least. I feel like this is way – no, it's just too clever. I hate clever people. Like, I have people that think they're clever, but they're just trying to make things annoyingly different. They're like, what if we did this? Who came up with these proposals?
John Breach.
Give me his name. Who's John Breach?
John Breach. He's the writer of this article that I'm
looking at. What does he do?
He writes for CBSSports.com.
Does he fancy himself an analytical type? Is he called, like, analytics writer?
I've not spent any time with
him. The people are making it way too complex because they're thinking like this will factor in game theory, and then you'll have to factor in the probability of them making the field goal versus like no. Say no to this one as well. And John Breach, he's off my Christmas card list.
Well, his third proposal is a simple one. Hey, how about both teams get the ball?
We went through all that first nonsense to get to this.
Right Sometimes the solution is pizza. When you want to go eat something.
Those first two proposals are like when you're about to fight somebody and they won't shut up about how they're going to kick your ass.
As I was
can we do this thing? Let's go.
As I was reading this article, I said, all right, I'm going to bring these up on the air. And Seth is going to hate these because they are way overthinking.
Why did he? I mean, the third one makes the most sense.
Well,
the first two was him. Is the equivalent of him circling before a fight when he's got his hands up like old school boxing style, with the backs of his hands facing the opponent, and he's just like, "I'll take you to town, Sonny."
Can you imagine David Culley having to process the first two proposals?
All right. Well, so what's the fourth one? Is that it?
No, that's just three. My proposal is just play another 10-minute period. You know what I mean?
That's a full period.
Full period.
In the playoffs.
Just in the playoffs. Yeah, okay. Just in the playoffs. Play a full 10-minute extra period. That's the thing that's close. If you like logic, then by logic, you should want something that's the closest thing to what, you know, you've actually been doing for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is play a period of football where you got to actually look at the clock. You actually have to manage the clock and go do that for another 10 minutes and decide.
I think that I guess people live in fear, though, of, okay, what happens if they end up. Again, sorry to go back to the old school boxing analogy, but that's where my head is. Remember when, like, heavyweight championship bouts used to last like 127 rounds?
Yes.
It was like they'd go on. Kids, I'm not joking. This wasn't when we were alive. This was back in like the early 1900s. But they had, I don't think they wore gloves, so everybody was very careful about landing a punch. So they would just circle each other for hours. I think people are worried that it would turn into something like that. I'm okay with the 10-minute period. I don't want it to overly affect the next week. Like, what if the number one seed is in a battle royale, or just a really good team, two really good teams are in a battle royale with each other, and maybe by happenstance, those are the two best teams in the playoffs.
And they've played a whole nother half a game.
Yeah, they end up getting punished for that. Like, they end up getting punished for being the best team in the playoffs. So I think that the playoffs should have both an element of simplicity, like we talked about, but then some kind of a shootout where, okay, if you don't decide it after that 10-minute period, each team gets five shots from the
2-point conversion,
10-yard line, or something like that.
College does now. Yeah. Yep.
No. Like one play.
Oh.
Like not a, you know, I don't
no,
like
no,
what
no,
college
but no,
does
no, but college after two possessions, they just go to two-point conversions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the two-point conversion part. Yeah. All right, Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL insider. He's going to join us in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on the greatest divisional round weekend of all times. Who's he got going into the Super Bowl out of these four teams? Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, is next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. We'll do headlines a little later on in the segment here as we go to the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Ross Tucker joining us. Hey, Ross, we heard you on our air this weekend doing the Tampa Bay versus the Rams game. I would imagine when you get that assignment, you look down and you see Los Angeles, and when it's either there or Nashville or Kansas City in January, you're probably pretty pumped to get to L.A., I would imagine, right?
Well,
It was in Tampa. My bad.
That game was in Tampa.
Still.
But to your point, it's funny. You know, I don't know if listeners care about this or not, but yes, it was nice to be in Tampa, but I also knew that I was going to be on sideline this upcoming week for the conference championship game. And at one point, if it was in Nashville, then I was definitely going to be anywhere other than Nashville, because the other sideline person, Laura Oakman, lives in Nashville. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going. But then the Titans lost. And then you're thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll be back here in Tampa. That'd be a nice sideline to be on. So long story short, I knew during the AFC championship, I knew during the Kansas City-Buffalo game that I'd be going to whoever won that game. And so that was even more reason, in addition to my affinity for the Bills having played up there, hoping that the Bills would win. I like new blood. I have an affinity for them. Plus, it's like a 4.5-hour drive. Mm. And I was going to drive up Saturday and stay at Seth's house. He doesn't even know this yet. Mm. And ski in Holiday Valley on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So the Bills coaches, last 13 seconds, totally blew my ability to crash at Seth's place, whether he was there or not, to ski at Holiday Valley.
I sold that place. You would have gotten arrested for – you would have been like Ryan Russillo at the ski resort when he walked into the wrong place drunk. Or Chad Kelly, too. You would have been that guy.
You sold that already? You just got it like a year ago.
I'd move on. I've got a short attention span. Speaking of short attention spans, Ross – this is a game I like to play with myself at halftime of a Tom Brady game, convincing myself why this one is different and there's no chance of him winning. This is what I was telling myself at halftime. We're like, okay, typically you should say, all right, whenever Tom Brady's in it, then he's got a chance to come back. I would say the difference between the comeback in the Falcons Super Bowl and the comeback in this game was that in the Falcons Super Bowl, the Patriots were at least moving the ball. They just weren't capitalizing on it. Where in this game versus the Rams, the Bucs were just not moving the ball or doing anything at all. So what were you thinking at halftime of that game as you were calling it?
I was thinking this is my third blowout in a row, and I'm not happy about it because I had called Bills Patriots. I was on sideline for Cardinals Rams. And the day before, you know, Packers Niners and Bengals Titans were both good games. So I was – by the way, let me just say, we got to talk about this maybe in the offseason or something. It annoys me that, like, when they talk about A.J. Brown, they're like, second most in franchise history behind Ernest Givens. Like, that's just weird, okay? Like, that's just weird. Like,
you don't need to tell Houston.
The same franchise. Yeah. I mean, it's like Ernest Givens from the Houston Oilers. Like, what are we even doing here? But anyway, Titans should just have their own franchise records from when they've been the Tennessee Titans. Like they're a whatever expansion team. Mm-hmm. So anyway, though, Seth, I remember thinking at halftime, and especially when the Rams went up 27-3, I said to Dave Pasch, the play-by-play guy, well, this stinks. He's like, yeah, you never know. I'm like, dude, Brady stinks today. Yeah. They can't do anything. They can't block the Rams. They can't stop the Rams. I got to tell you, I've never really bought into the whole Brady did a deal with the devil thing. But when the Rams just started fumbling over and over again, when they had to snap, I mean, this is the NFL, the snap that Stafford's not ready for. I swear, I tweeted this at Ross Tucker NFL. Some of these things only happen to the team playing against Tom Brady in an important game. That was the difference between the Falcons' comeback and this one. The Falcons' comeback was a lot of Brady and Edelman making big plays.
Yeah.
The Bucks' comeback was entirely the Rams just peeing down their leg and Jalen Ramsey just lets Mike Evans get behind him. The only thing you can't do there. The Cam Akers fumble, the only thing you can't do there, Cam Akers, is fumble. And he does.
Right.
It was just.
Oh.
I will say this, though. I'm happy for Stafford, and I give the Rams an unbelievable amount of credit because you feel like after Fournette scored to tie it, I kind of thought at that point, Rams might as well just walk off the field because this is over. This is one of the biggest collapses ever. They're never going to get over it. There's no chance they win now. And then Stafford steps up with a couple of awesome throws. Give him credit, man.
Ross, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that about things happening to the other team at times, or at least in this game especially. I think that what I said to my wife during the fourth quarter was, because you could almost feel it because of all those things you mentioned, this is where Tom Brady's playoff experience and Super Bowl experience and just postseason experience in general, that's where it starts to kick in, I think. And that includes his leadership. I think there's kind of a steadying effect on the team. Obviously, the Bucks have been there very recently. But there's something that they do where the old saying that more games are lost than won, I think in the playoffs, that's amplified. In teams that don't have as much playoff experience, look at the Bills' defense. They start to think a little too much. They make stupid mistakes. And I think Tampa, led by Brady, just maybe perhaps makes fewer mistakes so they can have that fourth quarter comeback. I'm also intrigued, and this is more important. I'm intrigued that in you wondering whether Tom Brady made a deal with the devil, it wasn't a matter of whether it's actually possible to make a deal with the devil. It was just the actual you analyzed it as in I'm pretty sure even though he could make a deal with the devil, he didn't. But now you feel like he actually did.
Well, here's what's crazy, okay? Two things I needed to comment on there. As for the Bucks-Rams, okay, I am convinced, and I don't know how much of it's conscious and how much of it's subconscious, but I am convinced that no matter what happens, the Bucks or whatever team Tom Brady is on, they still know they're going to win the game. I know when I played with him, we thought that. And then the other team, it's almost like, oh man, this is what happens. You've just seen it so many times. It's so ingrained in your subconscious that I absolutely think it has an impact on the games psychologically towards the end. And that's some part of the reason why the Rams made the mistakes and the Bucks made the plays they did. And then as for the Bills, I know what you said about their defense. I got to tell you, I really think the Bills coaching staff cost that game. I mean, number one, okay, I have no idea why you would kick a touchback and not take any time off the clock. Maybe they were gun-shy because Tyreek Hill had a good punt return, but come on.
He wasn't out there. Tyreek Hill wasn't on the field.
I know, and kick a squib kick to the second level. Pringle's still pretty fast, Sean, but
yeah.
Kick a squib kick to the second level guys.
Yep.
You know, the guys that are at the 20-yard line, let them run 10 yards, tackle them at the 30 after you take 7 seconds off or at least 4 or 5. But then how about when they're on defense, Seth, and you're rushing 4 when you know Mahomes has to get rid of the ball in 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Total
yeah.
waste. You
yeah.
should rush 2, have yeah. 4 deep, and then have 5 underneath.
Well,
and
yeah.
then they were playing that bracket outside coverage.
They're protecting the sideline
out of bounds.
Yeah, the Chiefs
had
3 timeouts. Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
need to protect out of bounds. I'm so
yeah.
annoyed. By the Bill, I don't want to be flying and connecting in Chicago to get to Kansas City. I wanted to just drive to Buffalo and ski up there and
mad.
Have Bills fans go nuts. These teams don't realize late in these games, it's about me. It's about my travel plans.
No, hey, but Ross, you're gonna. That would mean you're gonna have to get one of those horrible sandwich and cookie box lunches too, though.
Hey, that's a great. That's a good point. Although. That is a good point, although here's the thing.
Yeah.
Because I played for the Bills, they now told me where the Bills Legends Suite is.
Ooh.
So now I just hit up the Bills Legends Suite where they have wings and beef on weck and awesome all kinds of awesome stuff. So I found something. By the way, did you guys see my tweet at Ross Tucker NFL saying yesterday when I, you know, when the Westwood One tweeted that I was going to be doing the I'm on sideline, Baselli's in the booth. I said, well, where am I getting a beer and some food in Kansas City on Saturday night? Dude, I do this every game now, and inevitably I'll have people like DM me or like the owner of a place. You should come over. We'd love that. Oh,
yes.
Wow, that's such a nice offer. I wasn't even expecting that, even though it happens every week. I'll see you there.
Yes. Dude, that's baked into the calculus of being in broadcasting, the comp meals. You know exactly what you're doing.
I don't need the comp because I can reimburse it. I just need the best food, the best beer, and no waiting.
Yeah.
In fact, preferably when I get to the restaurant, there's like a line of 20 people deep, and I just walk by them like I own the place. That's what I like.
Yes.
Ross, do you have like one more minute so I can say that you're correct?
Yes, yes. I'm in no rush today.
Okay, so you were talking about like that Tom Brady mystique or whatever it is that somehow affects other teams. That's 100% real. And I didn't experience it in the playoffs, but I did versus Brett Favre. And it was – I was playing, we were playing the Packers. It was in a primetime game in Houston. And I had a really good rep where I beat a guard really clean. And like Brett Favre was just standing right in front of me. And I swear it was like one of those moments in the movies where like a ray of light shines down on him and it goes, oh, like that. And I froze a little bit, and I was like, that's Brett Favre. And, like, that was just enough that he did that thing. You know, he had really good pocket mobility. Like, he wasn't scrambling. He could take, like, a half step and create all the space he needs. He just, like, took a half step. I whiffed on him and, like, got one arm on him as he was completing a 25-yard pass downfield. And I got up, and he just kind of gave me that look like, yep, that's what happens. That's what happens when you're playing Brett Favre. I got done in by the Brett Favre mystique. There was a little bit of something, and I think about it like once every 2 months about how I missed a chance to sack Brett Favre.
That's funny. This is kind of unrelated, but you know how Bruce Smith has the NFL record for 200 sacks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would only be 199 if it weren't for me.
Boy. You can tell your grandkids.
So you did.
You
kind of did like
sacks?
The Brett Favre for Michael Strahan thing. You just did it as an offensive lineman.
That's right.
Yeah, like if I didn't try to cut him like a moron on Thanksgiving in 02, he'd only be at 199 and his life would have a huge void that could never be filled. But thankfully, I dove at his knees like a chump and he jumped over me for a sack in 2002.
When you stroll
in, what are you guys doing?
Well, I was Ross, real quick. When you stroll into the Bills Legends carving station, do you share that anecdote with Bruce Smith that you allowed him to get to 200 sacks?
I think I've actually told him about it before. We talked about it before. I think he was mad then because I started against him again later in the year.
Yeah,
and I cut him dirty a couple times. And it was my second year. I was 23, making the minimum. Our coach loved when you would, like, fly around. Bruce was, like, 40. And the only reason why he was still playing was for the sack record. And he made, like, you know, millions of dollars. And he's like, Tuck, what are you doing? I'm like, my coach loves it. Sorry, dude.
Okay, so Ross.
Pushing his walker out from underneath him.
Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL insider on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. All right, back to what you were just asking us, Ross, about hiring a coach. First of all, nobody's hired a coach, so everybody's moving slowly this cycle. When you hear that the Texans are seriously thinking of Josh McCown as the next head coach here, what goes through your mind?
Well, the one thing, and I tweeted this last week at Ross Tucker NFL, you know, you guys are on it more than I am, mm-hmm. but there was a week period where I saw at least four people were the favorite for the Texans job.
Yeah.
You know, the leading contender, the favorite. It was Flores. Yeah. It was Mayo. It was Jonathan Gannon. It was McCown. I mean, like, what is going on that all these guys are the favorite? Evidently, none of them are the favorite.
Yeah. I'll tell you, hey, Ross, I'll tell you what's going on. Man, I have never seen – it's gotten to be a little bit of an issue here. So many news breakers, every time they – release one of these little tidbits, they also sprinkle in something nice that I'm presuming an agent told them to say or something. You know, so they go, he's probably the favorite. He showed great success as a play caller with the Dolphins or what have you. I think there's...
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. It's all from the agent. It's a joke. Yeah. But anyway, I love Josh McCown. That dude is awesome. I think he's got a chance to be a great head coach. I think it's pretty insulting to all the guys that have actually, former players or whoever, that have been coaching for years, to think a guy that hasn't coached at all other than high school could just be an NFL head coach. I think it's insulting the other guys that have put the time in, and I love Josh. And my other read on it is that the powers that be in Houston probably think he's a guy that they could have a lot of influence and control over because he doesn't really know how it's done because he's never done it before.
Yeah. That's where that's the thing, Ross. It's not like whether you've been a coordinator or anything like that. Like, he hasn't even been a full-time coach in the NFL, college, anywhere. Like, you've seen this before, Ross. I mean, you probably contemplated it at one point. I had the option to go into coaching, and I sat and thought about it, and I was like, you know what? To even know if I want that lifestyle, I'm going to have to go and coach a year and figure all this stuff out. Because you just don't know until you're working 18 hours a day
in that
stress environment.
I talked to a coach this weekend who is not sure how long he's going to coach.
Yeah,
you know, he hasn't been coaching that long. I talked to him, and he's like, I don't know, man. Because he, he doesn't really know what it's like to not coach. He went right playing to coaching. So he doesn't know the flip side of it, is what, you know, like the alternative of what it's like to just kind of be a normal person.
Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL insider. Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline is where you find him. Insider Calls, brought to you by Driveway.com. Driveway.com. Shop there today. More than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. You can get them on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And, of course, you can listen this weekend right here on Sports Radio 610. He'll be on sidelines for the AFC title game between the Bengals and the Chiefs. Hey, Ross, before we get you out of here, which underdog do you give a better chance of pulling off the upset this weekend?
Niners, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think the Bengals... I'm hopeful for a close game, but I think the Bengals are in trouble. Their O-line's rough. Burrow's taking sacks he shouldn't. I know they beat him in Cincinnati. Kansas City will be a totally different environment. I think there's a real possibility that that game gets away from the Bengals. You know, they're kind of – I don't want to say they're happy to be here, but they've had an incredible, surprising season. Whereas the Niners, even though I think the Rams have a really nice team – the Niners just have their number, mm-hmm. and the Niners have a formula that enables them to be in these games and get a chance to win. So I kind of like both home teams, but I would give the better chance to the Niners for sure.
Yeah, feels like a learning experience this Sunday for Joe Burrow and the Bengals. We're going to be better for this.
I really think whoever won the Bills-Chiefs game was going to be my favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It's crazy. The Bills lose the divisional round, and I think this might have been their year to win the Super Bowl. It's just wild how that works.
Hey, man, beat the Jags in the regular season, and you don't have to worry about that stuff.
Unbelievable. Right? It's a great point. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yep, they all count, man. They all count. Hey, Ross, we appreciate it. Good conversation, man. We look forward to listening to you this weekend.
All right, see you, dudes.
All right, thanks, Ross Tucker. See you, dudes. On the way out, that's his catchphrase. See you, dudes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.